Good morning and greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be here with you and share in the worship service, and also invite and welcome everyone to come to Piedmont sometime and worship with us there. You can open your Bibles to John chapter 10 this morning. The title that I've given the message is Lessons from the Sheepfold, and I have never owned a sheep in my life, and so I don't know much about them. And you'll probably notice as we go along that most of my examples probably come and have more to do with cattle than they do with sheep. And Jesus, well, even in the Old Testament, God referred to, I think it was even in a verse in the Sunday school, that Moses was concerned about the children of Israel being as sheep without a shepherd. And when we think about sheep and us needing leadership and comparing ourselves to sheep and God looking at us that way, he's doing it out of heart of love and care. It's not a degrading term to be called a sheep. We are very much, if you around animals real much, you can see very much the likenesses of how they act and you can see yourself in them if you are open to it. And so this morning I'm not saying we're cattle this morning or that we're sheep in the sense of degrading us, but we can learn some lessons from that, the same as Jesus taught them here in this passage. And one of the things that is very evident when in this chapter is the love and care that God has for his people, for his sheep. And he also would desire that love and care to be shared among us as well, that we have love and care for each other. And also another thing that is very evident is that there are dangers. There is a need, there's a reason why we need the sheepfold, there's a reason why we need a shepherd, and there are many dangers to guard against. I think we'll just read the first 18 verses, and then I just have a number of points on the different aspects of shepherding and sheepfold and so forth. I'll read verses 1 through 18 at this time. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Okay, going back to the first part, Jesus says that I am the door. He says in verse 2 says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Also in verse 7, He clearly says, I am the door of the sheep. And in verse 9, I am the door again. So there is, Jesus is the way. And I'm sure we understand that. It's pretty basic as we think about our Christian life that Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it is very foundational, very important that we understand that it is through Jesus and through him alone that we are in the fold. We are not born in the fold. We are born with our heads turned the other way, where our direction of life is turned the other way. We just should read a few verses in John 3. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus here, John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5 again, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice that word, except. Unless, we could say, unless you're born, or except you're born again. So, very clear that we have to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus is the way. He is the entrance into the fold of God, into the kingdom of God. And also we think about a door would indicate the ownership the ownership. We think about the importance of doors. When you go to someone's house, the head of the house or whoever's in charge right then is the one that comes to the door. And Jesus fills that place. It's a sense of the one that takes care of the place, the one that cares for what's in the house. And so that is what Jesus represents as he represents the door. He indicates, he gives him ownership and care for the sheep. And we think about the door or the sheepfold. He's the one that leads in and out. He takes charge of the door. In verse 9, it says that I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and so shall go in and out and find pasture. And so we find what we need, entrance into the kingdom of God in the fold. And as we come into the fold, then there are provisions, that there are pastures that we can go to and feed, and that we can be nourished. And we think about the blessings of the fold. We think about sheep needing a sheepfold where they can be safe, whether it's from wolves or whether it's from the cold or whatever it's from. And then it says that we can go in and out and find pasture. So there's a need for shelter, and there's a need for feeding and growth. And maybe sometimes in life we love to be taken care of, I guess is a way to put it. We like that part of it. But if we want to be a part of the fold of God, we need that daily relationship with him where we can be fed too. And the need of going out and the daily duties, the daily, maybe when we don't feel so protected, and we follow the shepherd and follow his leading. So if we like the protection and care of the fold, we need to follow him in everyday life, in the daily grind of life as well. Okay, the next word it uses here, the next word we want to look at is the sheepfold itself. And that also represents a place of safety and protection. We think about I have never been over to the land of Israel, but I understand it's a very rocky place and a place where there's a lot of rock walls. And to me it just seems like a rocky place, and maybe I'm wrong on that, I don't know. But they took what they could to make sheepfolds back in those days. And they were blessed if they could find somewhat of a natural cave or some place where a rock wall made an indention or made a turn, and they could close off what a small part of it and make a sheepfold out of it. And they did it to make a place of safety for their sheep. And they used the materials that they had on hand. They didn't have skid loaders and post pounders and stuff like that. So they tried to use natural barriers and use that, and then whatever they could to make the rest of the enclosure. And one of the things that they used was thorn bushes to make a fence with, and I guess today are equal as barbed wire, and you can get pretty tore up using that kind of thing. And so there was the part that was already defined for them, and if you think, yeah, the part that already defined for them, and then there was a part that they decided to use as a fence themselves. And we don't necessarily do that with cattle, but there are defined lines where we build fences, and you could think about property lines. You don't build your fence on your neighbor, you build it on the line. And then the interior fences, we decide more where they are by our own wishes or the lay of the land or so forth. And I'd like to think about that, thinking about a rock wall or a cave. Let's say a cave that you could put a short fence on the outside of it to make a pen. And some of those things are clearly defined by God. And we could liken that to the principles of God's word, that God put it there and they are there. And then the part that we make could be the applications that we make to the principles of God's word. And those things, God wants us to use the material that we have on hand to do it. We have the principles of God's word, and then we use the material that we have in our day. They used thorn bushes back in those days. Today we have maybe a little bit better material. And so we can see through time, maybe the principles stay the same, but maybe the applications we have to make them applicable to our day. And it includes and encloses a place of safety and protection for us as sheep. And as I said before, barbed wire and thorn bushes would be rather difficult to work with, and thankfully you can wear protective clothing to help keep from getting scratched too much. But I believe God does want us to, sometimes, should say it this way, maybe sometimes when we work with putting principles into application, sometimes it is a thorny business, and sometimes we will get hurt. But God still wants us to do it. I believe God wants us to take the sweat and toil and even the scratches that are involved in applying applications to the principles of God's word. We know it's not always the easiest, but it is something that we very much need to do. And so it makes a place where it is safe inside. And we need to think about it, that we are there because we want the protection of God, and we want the protection that the sheepfold provides. And we should remember that to challenge that will probably be just as dangerous from the inside as it is from the outside. You know, thorn bushes and barbed wire both hurt going in or out, and we can't think that we can leave the fold without being affected by the leaving process. All right, number three is the sheep themselves. And sheep, again, I never have owned one, but they remind me very much of an animal that is very dependent. And we know cattle are that way as well. And they are very, very much have their own instincts. They're very much a creature of habit. Cattle are that way as well. And they have their needs, and they sometimes have their wants too, and very easily get into trouble. I understand a sheep can lay in what looks like mostly level ground, but it can be a slight indention, and they get caught there on their side, and there's no way for them to get up without help from someone along the way. And cows are somewhat that way too. They can get themselves into a predicament very easily, just simply trying to get up and move forward in the freestall too far, and you can't tell them to use reverse because they don't understand that. And yeah, they just need some help along the way. And can you see yourself in that? I can see myself. We just need someone to guide us along the way. Cattle have needs, and they have things that they reach for that aren't their needs. I've seen we have a feed alley where we put plenty of good, the best feed that we can find. And the cow will walk down the feed alley, and instead of reaching for the best, they reach across through the fence and try to eat a weed. and how much do you see, how much can I see my tendency that way? We like to look out and don't always see the blessings within. Very easily get into trouble. Think about that in our own life, how easy it is for us to fall into trouble, and things that maybe other people have passed by, it trips us up. And that is something that I am prone to do, something we as humans are prone to do, that where people have been before, we can go there and get into trouble. And we need to value the blessing of each other and the blessing of the fold to help us keep from getting that way. I had one place in the pasture where I had cattle in that pasture for 15 or 20 years and never had any issue. And one day I saw a heifer standing in a rather odd position or odd place. And the other heifers had moved away from her. And I looked over there and later and she was still standing at the same place. So I went and looked, and here she had put her head down between two trees, and it was a natural head catch. And just the way the thing was shaped, she could put it down in, but she didn't understand how to get it back out. And it's like us sometimes, where we can very easily get into trouble, and then we need someone to help us to get out of that trap. Okay, the next part, number four, is relationship. Notice the relationship that an owner of sheep or the shepherd and the sheep have a relationship. In verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And that is an important part, I understand, of taking care of sheep, is that they understand the voice of the shepherd. It's not so much with cattle, but they do understand what is normal. Animals have an amazing sense of that understanding of what's normal sounds, and what certain sounds mean. And it shows a relationship there, that they understand what is going on. They hear his voice in verse 3. We understand and hear his voice. Do we have that relationship with Jesus Christ where we feed daily on the Word of God and we understand his voice talking with us? Do we understand the sounds of his voice? It's a very important part of our relationship with God is that relationship of hearing him and understanding his love and care and his discipline in our life, and understanding that sometimes the things that he does, the things that he leads us through is something that is not so pleasant for the flesh, but it is for our own good. Okay, the next part, number 5, is leading. In verse 3, he says that to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So very closely tied to relationship. There needs to be a relationship before there can be leading. And this leading, you can see in these verses how he leadeth them out, and he leads them to pasture. He takes care of them along the way. So there's safety there, and there's rest. Psalm 23 talks about the leads beside the still waters and the restoration that is found there. So this leading is done for the good and blessing of the sheep. There are proper times for rest and for feeding, and it takes leading to do that. It's an important part of our life. And God knows just how to do it. And when we do it as men, when we're called as men to lead, we are human and we don't always understand, but we desire to follow the Master and to do it his way. Verses 4 and 5, he says, "When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And then he says, "A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So the leading and the relationship are very important. They simply will not follow a stranger because of his voice. They actually flee from him. And we see how important it is in that to have a relationship with God and to have that our focus. And then when we hear something different, we know that it's different. It's not the voice of God. And we can discern that. It's not that we have to know all the bad voices. We just have to know the one good voice. Okay, the next one is the pasture in verse 9. We read that already. Verse 9, it says that I am the door by me. If any man go enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Also in the last part of verse 10, it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, the way God's leading is and the way he desires for us is to have life abundantly. And I think we all probably know how it is to see a crop or something that we, or even cattle or whatever, that just, they are sort of growing, but they're not doing real well. And then we know that other times things come together and it seems like the crop or the cow it has abundant life. It just really is growing. And that's God's desire, that we have that, whatever he supplies, whatever we need, that we can have a vibrant, abundant life. I love that verse that he's come that we might have abundant life. And of course, us as sheep, we have to submit to his leading and be happy with the pasture that he has supplied. You know, you can lead a cow to the trough, but you cannot force her to eat. So we do have a part in ourselves to take up what God has wanted us to do. We think about pasture. There are fences in the pasture, and we think about abundant life. And just remember that the best grass isn't always the grass next to the fence. I had a time when I put nitrogen on a pasture. It was liquid nitrogen, and I told the man that put it on to stay away from the fence because I didn't want that nitrogen to corrode the fence. And the grass around the fence was a very pale yellow, and the inside of the pasture was very dark green. And when I turned the cattle in there, they went all the way around the fence eating the pale green grass. And I suppose it had something to do with the taste, I'm not sure. But it wouldn't have had the nutrients that the good grass did. And they did just like you and me sometimes. They went next to the fence and ate around just because that's what they wanted. And so it's not just the whole pasture is there for our abundant life. It's not necessarily because we're crowding or even reaching through the fence that we're getting the best stuff. Let's remember that God's provision is for the whole pasture, not just to walk the edge. Actually, the edge is where we get into trouble. Okay, the next part, number 7, is the dangers. He talks about that some here, the dangers of the wolf and the dangers of a false or a hireling that is taking care of them. And the storms would be another thing that come into the life of sheep and a shepherd. The wind and the rain can threaten the safety of the sheep. You think about the wind blowing and branches falling. And we think about the storm, the threat of storms. Y'all are very familiar with that recently. But the things that are very solid, we think about a rock wall, that partial fence around the sheepfold being a rock wall and then the rest of it being a thorn fence. And when branches fall and when winds blow, the rock wall is probably not going to move, but the man-made part of it is more of a threat. And so it takes work to maintain that. And we think about that going back to the principles of God's Word and the applications that we make. The principles of God's Word stand firm, even in the threat of storms. And yet are the things that we need to shore up in the time of storms is the application to those principles. And so it's important that we understand the dangers and the things that can come. And storms can also make things that were once okay dangerous because of the storm, like a broken branch, a tree that the roots gave way. The storm might have leaned it partway over and then it becomes a danger. And broken branches, cherry trees are fine in a pasture until the branch is broken and the leaves start to wither, and then the leaves become poison. So in times of storms, we need to watch out extra careful. If you're going through a stormy time in your life, you become more vulnerable and as these things come into our life. And so let's be careful and watch out for the dangers, especially during the storms. And then number 8, we think about Jesus' words about laying down his life in verses 15 through 18. And we are in the fold of God by choice. We talked about that in point number 1, that he is the only way into, and we cannot enter unless we're born again. But we're also in the fold of God. We stay in the fold of God by choice. We voluntarily each day lay down our life. And that is very important for us to understand, that we don't just one time enter the fold because I said a prayer back a long time ago that we're in the fold of God, but we need to daily make the choice, voluntarily make the choice to, today I'm going to walk with God. Jesus said that in verse 17, he said, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep. And so we need to do the same. One of the many things that Jesus taught us in life is that when he did it for the sake of the kingdom, or one thing we can learn from him is that when he did it for the sake of the kingdom, we should be willing to do the same. He laid down his life for the sheep, and if it was necessary for Jesus to lay down his life to fulfill his Father's plan, then we certainly ought to be willing to lay down our lives to fulfill our Father's plan. There is the principle of giving our best. These sheep were raised for a purpose, and they took the best sheep and used them for sacrifices. And I'm not sure what all they used sheep for, the wool for clothing, I'm sure, and they also used the certain ones for sacrifice. But they had a purpose, and when we have cattle, we have a purpose for the cattle. We don't just buy cows to give them a burial place. Maybe there are some that do that, but there's a reason that we have them, whether we just like them. But if it costs too much, I think even if you did like them, you'd somewhere along the line, you would decide between your likes and the money. And so there is a purpose to life, and a purpose for us in life to give of our best. We're not just here so that we have a proper burial place, but we're here for sacrifice. And God uses his people in his kingdom, and we're here to give up ourselves for that purpose. And he uses all of us, and maybe we feel like in certain times of life where we're always the one that's called to sacrifice. Well, God uses his best sheep. Take comfort, because he uses the best sheep for sacrifice. And we are all here for a purpose, whether we're here just to provide in the material things, whether we're just here to give our life for the good of the brethren. That's what we're here for. We're here as servants. We're voluntarily laying down our life, and we need to be willing to do that. The last one I'd like to think about is number 9, is the eternal sheepfold. We talked about the blessings, the dangers, and the fulfillment, the abundant life of the sheepfold. Well, as we live there and abide there in God's sheepfold here on earth, we can look forward to beyond this life. And that's the purpose of living here in a way that pleases God, is so we can be with him eternally. I'll just read a few verses in Revelation chapter 21. It doesn't use the word sheepfold here, but it reminds me of the same care and protection that it talks about in John 10. Revelation 21 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Doesn't that sound like somewhat like Jesus talking about in John 10. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Those are really encouraging, good words And if we are living where God wants us, if we follow the Good Shepherd, if we live in His fold and follow His leading, then we can be part of the eternal fold. God bless you as you live that way, wherever God has called us. Let's kneel for prayer.